So one good piece of work that we had looked at the last executive committee was how we use our electronic rostering system, eRoster, that's been in place for a number of years now. And we had an independent group of people called Allocate come in that designed that rostering system. And there are a group of 7 KPIs that you can use to monitor the effectiveness of your rostering system. Now, why is this important? Obviously, the vast majority of our costs relate to staffing costs, and the rostering system was put in place to try and ensure that we have both efficient rosters but also very effective rosters in terms of having the right seniority of staff on any ward at any one time. We've done a pilot now reviewing with Allocate 3 of our ward areas, and what that's shown is that there are real opportunities for us to improve both the efficiency with which we roster, but also the safety with which we roster. So it's really two sides of the same coin. How do you roster more efficiently? So a good example of that is ensuring that you smooth how frequently people take annual leave across the course of a year, so everyone's not taking annual leave in the same month and putting up your bank and agency, but smoothing it so that it's equal across the year, and ensuring that your permanent staff are doing a fair mix of day shifts, evening shifts and night shifts, because obviously if you have bank and agency working predominantly night shifts and evening shifts, it's more expensive. So I think with that Allocate review that we've done, we're now rolling that out to each of the wards across the sites and using those 7 KPIs to really ensure that we are rostering effectively. That will certainly help us in terms of getting control of bank and agency. The other key part of getting control of bank and agency is obviously getting down our vacancy levels, and Jane may like to take some make some comments about what we've been doing systematically to reduce the vacancy rates across the trust.
Can you? You'll know that we did a pilot from the resourcing team in terms of centralising as much recruitment as we could. That's been incredibly successful. So we're now rolling that out right across the organisation. And working very specifically with each of the divisions in terms of their strategic people planning, in terms of what they're going to need going forward, based on what we know that their turnover is or likely to be. We have been bringing down the vacancy rate over the last 2 months, though it's crept up very slightly again. We still have 400 people waiting to join at the moment, but we're also focusing not only on the central recruitment, but also on the very specific hard-to-reach, as we've mentioned before, for private patients as well. I've changed the leadership in the resourcing department recently as well, with a view to getting better processes and turning things around a lot quicker than we had been doing previously as well. So there are lots of things that we're doing in terms of process and ways of working which I think will support the business. But we've also identified where we've signed off recruitment, where actually there's been no activity by either the local managers or the centre as well. And we absolutely understand now where we have everything that's going on in terms of recruitment activity in the trust. So I hope that that will start to help us to still further reduce our vacancy rates. I have to say, in London, we are amongst the best in terms of our vacancy rate, and it is one of the lowest in London. So we want to make sure that we keep hold of that mantle and start to drive that down, and make sure that when we bring new starters in, that the bank and agency rate goes down accordingly. And that's the big test now, I think, is to make sure that happens.
Okay. Thank you, Jared.
I'm delighted to hear the progress we're making on the rostering side, but I'd just like to revert to the point that Sarika made on the transport. We first discussed this in audit and risk, must be at least 18 months ago, I think, now. I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer. If a patient needs transport, it's because there is a necessity, in which case it should be paid for by the commissioners, or that patient has been kept too late through treatments, and therefore we have an obligation to get them home. There should not be a major cost on this trust through patient transport. And this is another area. I don't know what else we can do. We can't keep looking at it. We've just got to take some decisions and do something about it. Because the money that can be saved through areas like this can be spent on frontline services. And it's either that the commissioners won't pay, in which case they should pay for it, or we need to change our way we do things so that patients can be getting home at reasonable times. And if the services that are providing the result that our patients can't get home early, then those departments should be charged with the transport. It's as simple as that. So, you know, please, can we get resolution of this?
Thank you, Jerry. So in the last FIG meeting, we presented a paper on patient transport services and some of the actions we're taking to make sure that the national awarded eligibility criteria are being adhered to and making sure that we're efficient in the way that we allocate transportation. There are a mixture between those patients who are, have a medical need for transport and absolutely the NHS must fund, and there are those who have social reasons for being able to reclaim their funding, which is outside of the NHS to fund. We're working hard with our departments. We know how our cut of patients go in and out of those services, and we're going to present back to FIC in the next few months our progress on bringing that back to the correct, so everybody who's eligible is getting the correct transport they require, and that they're also aware of the patient information that we need to give them so that they can reclaim when they're not entitled to NHS transport, but they are entitled to social care transport, that they have that information available at all of our sites, so no one's disadvantaged for access. And I think we'll work harder around making sure that our transport discharge lounges are working with the departments to make sure they understand when their transport's there.
When you start charging the departments?
When you start charging the departments, you'll soon get a quick resolution to these areas.
Thanks, Jerry. Rodney?
The board met, Foundation Trust Board Programme Board met twice in September, November, as usual, over looking at the financial governance and quality work streams required to satisfy, firstly, the TDA and then the monitor before we will be awarded Foundation Trust status. Perhaps I can just concentrate on the governance side. We currently have 7,200 shadow members of the Trust, which we've recruited over the last few months, and we will be keeping in contact with them over the coming few months. And we've also, I think, finally, bar one, understand where we're going to get our governors from, who's going to elect them and appoint them. And that's all, I think, been crystallised. We did spend some time last meeting on the Constitution, which is very important to get right because it's so difficult to change once you become a Foundation Trust. And so there's a premium on making sure we spend time looking at it, the fine detail, which I think we did. It'll come back to the Circulus Trust Board in due course for discussion and approval related to especially how we govern the Foundation Trust, its board of directors and so on, how they are appointed.
Questions? Thank you very much. Any other business? Okay, the public can now ask questions. I think the lady at the back of the floor was wanted to ask a question.
I'd like to say something because I'm very upset. I know people who's going for surgery, and it's like conveyor belt surgery, where they're pushed out through the doors before they're even ready to be, you know, to be seen, and it's wrong. People are not commodities, they're people. You should have no conveyor belt surgery. It should be for people to go. And I'm very sad, when somebody's sent out of hospital, you ring for an ambulance afterwards, they've been to the hospital, they're hemorrhaging, and they're told, oh, go to see your doctor tomorrow. That is wrong. And I've known people, this is going, somebody's taken this to court, so I can't say the names. But it's wrong. People matter. Profit should not come before people's needs. And I feel sorry that you doctors are not even looking out for the people. Not anymore. Because I go to these services, you say go to St. Mary's. you've got an hour's travelling journey.